This is a replay of the Wednesday Night, October 2nd, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. Plenty of stories under the heading of things that make you go, And this first one, we'll get to Jim, by the way, who's calling in Richmond. He's got an update. But McDonald's. Now, this is actually McDonald's, this particular location in Wales. But this went on for 4 years involving 16 employees that were human trafficked. Apparently, there was a Czech Republic gang. A couple of brothers targeted vulnerable individuals, mostly going after the homeless or those battling addiction, and they promised them that they'd get well-paying jobs in the UK. Well, they sent them to the UK, and they got jobs all right, but the money went to the brothers and the gang. They basically were given enough to exist, but not any more than that. The victims were afraid. They were afraid about being discovered if they attempted to escape. Their passports and stuff were taken, and they were threatened by the gang. But you would think that there would be some signs, like 16 workers living at the same address. Yeah, you'd think. But the bottom line is no one did think, and so the family-run gang treated their victims like livestock. Literally, and threatened them with violence. And after 4 years, it came to light. Apparently, you had some victim, and who knows which one, but God love them, who contacted the Czech police, and that prompted an investigation in the UK. Six gang members were arrested and convicted, but 16 workers, and this was just publicized recently, and McDonald's, in response, says they are enhancing their system to identify potential risks. Well, I don't think they had a system until this, but they do now, and that's the deal. But when I read that, I'm like, 16 workers after 4 years clearly being trafficked, and nobody at McDonald's notices that maybe there's a problem. And that's not to cast aspersions at McDonald's per se. I'm sure it's happening in numerous locations, but be aware is about all I can say. 888-876-5593. And Jim is in Richmond, so Jim, let's have the update.
Okay, first off, thank everyone, but I was very busy today.
Good.
And I called Apple.
Good.
And I talked to them. Good. And for anyone that's interested, I finally got an answer. The maximum magnification on the iPhone is 15 times.
Right, but we don't want you to magnify. We want you to put
no,
on these
wait,
apps.
Wait, I'm not finished yet.
Okay.
And that's what I asked. And then I told her about how I go to the Quick Trip app and you can't expand it or anything. And then she gave me a program to I can download and stuff. But I think my phone already has that. So I took all that information and I wrote it down. And it said something like, I can't remember offhand because I am exhausted. But it was like speak up or something like that and something else. But I think the guy at Old Orchard already put that in my phone. So I wrote down all that stuff. And then I got that put away. And then I went and I called Doug at the Wisconsin Institute for the Blind and Vision Impaired and left a message. Could you please call me back and tell me about the place in Janesville that sells the equipment for visually impaired? And he never called me back.
Okay.
I lost that. I'm sorry. I try to write down everything you give me, but I lost that, and he never called me back. So
all right,
that,
now,
that place
here,
in
here's
Janesville.
In Janesville, and I'm going to get you that phone number in Janesville again, but here is the deal. The most important thing from Apple is VoiceOver, and that's the thing that
right.
you need to set up with them.
And can I get back to you about that? There's more information I get on that later.
Okay.
And if you got that phone number.
Yes, for Janesville, then, IBVI Janesville. You ready?
Yeah.
608-754-3208.
Because if I can get a sheet magnifier...
But Jim, this is what I'm telling you. You don't want to rely on the ways you used to do it. You want to have these
right.
programs like VoiceOver. You could lose in the future more vision. You don't want to have to see it.
Right. But then my next news is I got a text while we were shopping tonight from Kim.
Good.
And here's the joke about it. We're sitting in the restaurant before we went shopping, and after we stopped at her house, she ran a load of clothes for me, and it said, maybe Kim, and then her phone number, and then they read the text. And then I asked my friend, can I respond? She goes, no, leave it go. You do it later. You know. So I let that go, and I went to the washroom, and then I texted her back. Thank you for the text. We'll talk later. And so then later on in the evening, we text back and forth. And then tonight, we talked. I think we talked for almost an hour.
Wow.
And it turns out that we both lived in Chicago, her in a different end of Chicago, and me here. And we talked about a lot of things. And I opened up to her about everything in my life, you know, and it's got to the point where she's going to help me with the VoiceOver.
Good.
And she sent me a link. She said, don't worry about the link. We'll talk about it when we meet.
Okay.
Where I might be able to get a 10-inch iPad.
Great.
For free.
Great.
So we talked about that. And then, we talked about a bunch of other stuff, and I told her that someone tried to teach me VoiceOver and it didn't work and stuff. And then I said, what I need from you is, can you please help me download the Walmart Plus app where I can order my food and have it delivered?
Because
Walmart Plus
right.
will deliver, and the Walmart that I have in Whitewater is very small. I don't know if they deliver, but they do take orders for pickup.
Okay.
You know? So then I said, can you help me with the Quick Trip app? And she said, I have Quick Trip too, and we can sit down and discuss that.
Right. So, and also, don't forget Be My Eyes.
Right. And, you know, and she came up with some suggestions about other things.
Okay, great.
And we worked that out. And then after, I think it was an hour conversation where we talked about a million things, we decided to meet in a week or so in Delavan.
Good.
At a restaurant. And then we will sit down and plan out something.
Excellent.
And then tonight when we were shopping, and I was told that the next time she could take me shopping would be the 18th.
Right. Well, we talked about this. We're going
right.
to get you away from ever needing her.
I'm not done yet. And then I discussed that with Kim. And Kim says, we will work on it.
Yeah.
We will we'll get to the point where you can order it and have it delivered.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're going to work on.
Yep.
And we took care of that.
Good.
And then the third thing is while we were in the restaurant, she picked up the senior citizen brochure that they send out in Whitewater all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to help me, but for anybody that's out there in Elkhorn at the Health and Human Services Department, because I can't, it's too late for me, they're having a resource seminar with, you know, insofar as, you know, with prizes and gifts and everything, and they'll have all the ability for you to find out about all the other things that are available for senior citizens.
Great.
And if anybody is in the area, I'm helping them. It's in Elkhorn from 8 to 11 tomorrow morning.
Oh, tomorrow morning, and you have no way to get there?
8 to 11 tomorrow morning.
Okay.
So if anybody is in Wisconsin and needs help, they're going to have all the places where you can get resources. They're going to have raffles and stuff like that. And that was in the flyer she gave me. So I am going to have that flyer as in the next week or so mailed to my house.
Good.
So I can find out these things.
Good.
And so.
Good.
And then we're going to get together in Delavan. And she said, call your brother. I called my brother. And tonight he goes, I can't talk right now. And I said, what do you talking mean? He says, I had to take my wife to the emergency room, and I rushed out of the house and forgot my damn wallet.
Oh, no.
And I have to drive all the way back home to get my wallet.
Oh,
so
jeez.
So it's not just me that F's up, you know?
Of course not. Of course not. Well, hopefully his wife will be all right.
Right. Yeah. And I just hope, everyone else, thank you for last night.
Absolutely.
I'm working on things, and so I don't need any more suggestions.
All right. Well, good deal.
So,
just
and I hope everyone has a wonderful evening.
Well, you too, Jim. And thanks for calling.
Yes.
We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right. So, 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. One of the things that Jim had requested was anything written by Chris Christopherson. It took a lot of doing for me to find something that I was willing to sit through. But then I remembered, oh, wait a minute. From 1969, he wrote that Billy Walker song. I loved it. All right. So you'll hear early Chris Christopherson writing. Yeah, before he actually recorded anything. Wasn't the first thing of his that he wrote that was recorded. That was probably Vietnam Blues by Dave Dudley. And I've got that too, but I'll spare you that. But you will hear Billy Walker coming up next on WGN Radio. And let me talk about the Sea Crane Company. I know if you listen to this show, you're a radio lover, or else you wouldn't put up with me. And if you are, you probably know about Bob Crane. But if not, if you're like the rest of us, disgusted with the state of radio reception in the last 30, 40 years, just everything kind of went to hell, couldn't pick up anything. Well, Bob Crane decided he could do something about it, and he came up with radios that just had terrific AM and FM reception. But since then, he's come up with so many products. The one thing they all have in common is that great reception, but they have a number of other features too, and the newest is the CC Skywave SSB2. With single sideband, it's the ultimate companion in emergency radio. It fits right in the palm of your hand. It weighs only 8 ounces. The reception, as I was saying, is excellent, AM and FM, and the audio is sharp and clear for its small size. It gives you access to things you'll never get on your smartphone, and in addition, you can listen to your favorite stations, whether they're AM or FM, or for that matter, you can listen to ham radio operators from all over the world, or the weather alarm, and the weather channel, and the weather alert, and all that. It's all in something that'll fit in the palm of your hand, and that's the CC Skywave SSB2, the true radio Boat Lovers Travel Radio. You can go to ccradio.com anytime and look at the CCSSB2. But if you can't go online and you're interested, you can call them because they have the world's best customer service, and that's 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. They'll mail you a catalog free of charge if you want them to do that. But if you can go online, not only great products like the CC SkyWave SSB2, but great information about radio as well. It's a real resource. It's ccradio.com. You look at the CC SkyWave SSB2, you tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
You ask me if I'm happy now. Well, that's as good as any joke I've heard. It seems that since I've seen you last, I've done forgot the meaning of the word. If happiness is empty rooms and drinking in the afternoon, well, I suppose I'm happy as a clown. But if it's got a thing to do with smiling or forgetting you, well, I don't guess that I can say I am. Did you ever see a down and outer waking up alone with a blanket on to keep him from the dew? When the water from the weeds has soaked the papers he's been putting in his shoes to keep the ground from coming through. And his future feels as empty as the pockets in his pants because he's never seen a single dream come true. Well, that's the way that I've been feeling since the day I started falling from the bottle to the bottom, stool by stool, learning how to live with a losing you. You wonder if I'm better off with freedom now to do the things I choose. Well, all my time's my own and I got nothing left but sleep and time to lose. There's no one here to carry on if I stay out the whole night long or give a tinker's damn if I don't call. I'm living like I wanted to and doing things I want to do and nothing seems to mean a thing at all. Did you ever see a down and outer waking up alone with a blanket on to keep him from the dew?
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yeah, that's early Kris Kristofferson songs, and that's Billy Walker, and if you don't know Billy Walker, well, shame on you, he had over 65 country chart records nationally, and a few number ones, and a lot of top fives, so indeed, but in 69 he came out with that, and did pretty well with it, not a big hit, but number 20 nationally. All right, so yeah, early Kris Kristofferson, rest in peace. 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh, we are going to look at the news, then we're going to look at Brian and Joliet and Ruth and Gurney. Yes, and there's plenty of room for you two and a number of other stories, but if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. And I promised that I would play a couple requests, and I'll do one of them next on WGN Radio.
There's nothing I can do. Oh, ain't no big thing. Ain't no big thing. Ain't no big thing. Ain't no big thing.
Run on, little girl. Everyone has his day. Oh,
ain't no big thing. Ain't no big thing.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, one of my all-time favorite records. So when Frank emailed and wanted to hear Ain't No Big Thing, which actually is It Ain't No Big Thing, even though I don't say it during the song, how could I refuse? That's The Radiance, of course, 1965, on Chess. Gerald Sim wrote it, and the lead, that's Maurice McAllister and Leonard Keston Jr. trading off on that, and it is an absolutely wonderful song, so happy to play it. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Brian is in Joliet. What's up, Brian?
Hi, Raleigh. I hope you're doing well. In relation to that horrible first story you just talked about, the sex trafficking.
No, it wasn't sex trafficking. It's employment trafficking. It's not sex.
Well,
what they were doing is trafficking, is basically getting people, they were homeless or drug users or all like that, promising them good jobs. They got them to the UK. They sent them to work at McDonald's. They confiscated all the salary and everything other than what would need to stay alive. You know, they treated them like cattle. And this went on for 4 years, and McDonald's never noticed that its workers all had the same address and all that kind of stuff.
Well, when you say trafficking, it implies that they were forced.
Well, they were forced, not into sex. They were forced into working.
Well, that's
That's not a new thing. That is absolutely not a new thing. Do not assume that trafficking is always sexual. It isn't. Trafficking is basically about human collateral. You can be trafficking for any reason. It doesn't have to be sex.
Because I was thinking of the late Madeleine Albright.
Right.
A newspaper article I read a long time ago. She said that when the Eastern Soviet Union and the Eastern Bloc collapsed, they were, you know, in effect an economic depression, and these women would get letters from the West, including the U.S., and they would be conned. Some of them would be like teachers or nurses and things like that, and they'd be conned to coming in, and they would get forced into sex trafficking.
Yeah, that's not what this is, but there was that, no doubt about it. There was also a lot of prostitution in the former Soviet Union just to stay alive. So, you know, that's one of the things. It's not for this show, but it's one of the things that really makes you wonder why we didn't go in and help them. But that be that as it may, prostitution was the norm both inside and outside the country. But believe me, when you hear trafficking, it's not always sex.
Well, I think anybody who gets found guilty of any kind of trafficking, especially sex trafficking, but any kind, ought to get life in prison without parole,
right,
in my book. Could I ask a question then on a different subject?
Sure.
Music?
Sure.
Unless you wanted to go on with that.
No. But just keep in mind, forced labor is more common than sexual servitude in numbers. So forced labor is a big problem. And the fact that you weren't aware of it tells me that maybe a lot of people aren't.
Well, it's good you bring it up then, Raleigh. Do you know who sung a song called If You Gotta Make a Fool of Somebody?
Of course, James Ray.
James Ray.
Yeah.
Can I write that down? James Ray.
It's a wonderful song. And then he did Got My Mind Set on You, that George Harrison remade. But If You Gotta Make a Fool of Somebody is one of the all-time great records, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard it. I heard it like one time only, and I thought it was kind of catchy, but I didn't catch who did it. So I thank you very much for taking my call, Raleigh.
Absolutely. Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
All right,
have
thanks.
A good one.
Yeah, and that was on Caprice, that little label that the Angels were on before they broke on Smash. But that was 1961, James Ray. And he was originally Little Jimmy Ray, and did some stuff on Galleon. Nothing really was a hit. And he was destitute. I think he was performing in clubs, but, you know, living on the streets, on rooftops, whatever. And he signed to was signed to Caprice, and that's when they released If You Gotta Make a Fool of Somebody. But then, as I say, nobody knew Got My Mind Set on You until George Harrison redid it and made it a number one record. So when Caprice folded, he wound up on Congress for a while, which, you know, was a subsidiary of Cap, and released some stuff. And sadly, if you're saying, well, why didn't I hear anything about this guy? He died of a drug overdose early in 65, so that's why you didn't. here anymore of that, and that's why he wasn't around on any level to know that that Got My Mind Set on You was going to be a big, big hit. Yeah, would have surprised the heck out of him, I'm sure. And he didn't write If You Gotta Make a Fool of Somebody, by the way. Rudy Clark, who's written so much, did that. So 888-876-5593. We have Ruth, and she's in Gurnee. So, Ruth, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, good evening, the hostess with the focus. I want to do a thank you to Karen, but first I want to say to Stacy, a happy Rosh Hashanah. I wish that I had a flag that said, get your menorah on, or something.
Well, that's the wrong holiday. Menorahs go for the holiday that's near Christmas, but New Year's.
Well, I know, but I like the phrase "get the menorah on."
Well,
it applies to every day. You know, it's just that the holiday has gotten one name on here and there.
Oh, absolutely.
But real quick, I'm on a timer. This is to collect the dots. When Karen called and said she was from Milwaukee but lived in Chicago, and she had put in a prayer for Jim from Richmond, and I realized that, now connect the dots, I had requested at St. Alphonsus a prayer mass, because they were having an Oktoberfest, for one of your visually impaired listeners. And I had a specific person but didn't know. And another further request with that petition, and of course they were charging $15 neighborhood, but St. Raphael, who I had a mass set for your visually impaired listeners, was $10. So I have all these masses all over the country, but my favorite is St. Jude Shrine in Chicago. So Karen, the prayer in Chicago, but lived in Milwaukee. And then the secretary of St. Raphael is a Kim. And Kim gets a call. Now, I had a solution, but I thought I'd wait for other people who might do something better. And that's exactly what happened. If you wait for God to steer it, something better does happen. So Kim's on his way to his avenue of approach. And the dots are connected how divine intervention put their hand in on it so that he could get to the next place for his, stability and well-being and things like that. But you were the most hostess with the focus.
The team,
well, all those people contributing. And who says you can't go home again? Because that's exactly what Jim did when he relied on all the persons that would pull for him. You can go home again.
All right. Well, thanks for
God
the prayers.
God bless everyone who wanted to do something for his situation. Thanks, Raleigh.
Thank you. Good Appreciate night. The call, and thanks for the prayers. All right, that's great. And yes, so it is tonight at sundown started Rosh Hashanah for the next couple of nights. And that is New Year's, one of the high holy days. And Shana Tova to everybody who is of the Jewish faith. So that, by the way, I lived in Miami. I know this stuff. That means good year. Shana Tova. All right, 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. All right, so what do we have? I believe that that Eduardo is in Tampa. So welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, probably. Oh, before I forget, I got to request a song here. Lindo Lindo by Brazilian Jumbo, if I said that right.
Oh, no. I got to look this up. Brazilian Jumbo?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've been hearing some of their songs, and that's pretty good.
Okay, I will.
But I thought that one is kind of closer to the old times.
Right, exactly. I was saying this must be a group that's newer than me, so I don't know. I'm going to learn about them. I have no idea. So
I try to do like a, because I like to do the Wikipedia, and I couldn't get anything. So I don't know what's up with that.
I'll look.
They're like
that's
a secret
for sure.
band, I think.
All right. Well, like I say, more recent than my experience, but we'll find them.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to get into this Longshoreman strike, and there's a lot of things to talk about. This Inside Edition was showing people hoarding toilet paper. Can you believe that?
Yes, I can, because of what happened in 2020. If you remember,
right.
The first start of the pandemic, when there was somewhat of a lockdown, toilet paper was literally in scarce demand. They were rationing it. It wasn't on some shelves. So, of course, when the news of the longshoremen strike, let alone what's going on worldwide, but the longshoremen strike alone and the ports that it affected, sure, people ran out and started hoarding things. I found them, by the way. It's Brazilian Jumble, J-U-M-B-L-E. And
you did.
Lindo, lindo. Giacomo Bondi, Brazilian Jumble. I will find it.
Yeah. So I think he's Italian? Is that, I think he's Italian.
Yeah, well, with that name, you sure would, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So that's okay. I'm going to, like I say, it's
although I couldn't determine if he was part of... Is he probably, what's his connection with Brazilian Jumbo? Is he associated with them? I don't know. I get that.
I'll find out. But now, remember, one of the things about Brazil is it's such a melting pot. And so it's not unusual to find people with names from other origins who are, you know, born and raised in Brazil. But I don't know about him, but I'm going to find out.
Yeah, that's, I was doing like a search, and I go, where is the Wikipedia to this group?
Well,
and I can't find it.
You don't do it by Wikipedia. You know, Wikipedia is, there's a lot of stuff it doesn't have. But here we go. I can tell you about this guy because he's got his own website. And I assume that he is Italian because it's Giacomo Bondi IT.IT. So that would... he's a digital music and IT specialist, music producer, software analyst and programmer, sound engineer, and mastering engineer. So he's been working with computers since 1980. Yeah, can you say the IBM AS400? He began as a software analyst, became a system administrator, SysUp in 91, and was one of the first skilled Unix users in Italy. And he compiled and managed kernel and Unix. And so he worked for, you know, everybody, I mean, contracted with him, including Data General. So he moved into IT security and vulnerability, and you don't even care about any of that. Let's get to the music. Yeah, we don't need to tell you about his Cisco experience. So in any event, he signed a digital distribution deal with Big Fish Media in the USA. And his stuff is on Spotify and Deezer and iTunes and other. And so he's developing tools right now for metadata integration into the music business.
So, oh, how about that?
So he is Italian, no doubt about it.
I need to go back and read that. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, no,
that's good reading.
Just GiacomoBondi.it. It's his whole website.
.it, okay.
Yeah, so for Italy.
The homeland, yeah.
And you'll get his whole bio. He was born in 1966 in Genova. In 1989, he moved to Rome. He still lives there.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
So, okay.
All right. Well,
that's a good read. I'll definitely read on that. Yeah.
And I'll listen to his stuff because I've never heard him do Lindo Lindo, but I will.
Yeah, because there's some other songs that are on there, but
I
thought Lindo Lindo was a little bit more closer to the old. That's why I chose that.
Good. I'm going to play it. Excellent. Thanks for telling me about it.
Yeah. So back to the Longshoreman, just briefly. So this Harold Daggard has got a shady past, particularly with, I don't know if we want to say their names, but the Justice Department missed him twice, and because he's connected with Gina Vesey family in New Jersey. So...
Well, he's president
he's
of the
guy.
Yeah, he's president of the ILA, and the International Longshoremen's Association is big deal. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. Talk about power and influence. We'll pick it up there on WGN Radio.
I thought it was
Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and those are the stylistics, and that's for Tubby. Yeah, 1971 on Avco. Happy to play it, Tubby. All right, now back to Eduardo, and I'm kind of glad you brought this up because obviously okay. I don't know Harold Daggett, but what I will tell you is he was fully acquitted. There was a trial in 2005, and that accused him not only of being an associate of the Genovese family, but also extortion, conspiracy, mail fraud. Anyway, he and the other guy who was on trial, who I think was Arthur Coffey, they both were fully acquitted. And as he was leaving the court, he said, "What doorway do I have to go through to get my reputation back?" And there were a number of things that happened during that trial, including some mob people who died and all that. Were murdered, obviously. But in terms of on the record, you know, this guy is a New Yorker. He went into the Navy, came out of the Navy, became a longshoreman, and then, you know, joined the union, and then rose in 2011, I think he became president. So, you know, I sort of bristle in terms of connecting him to the mob. Maybe, maybe not. But on that trial, he was fully acquitted. And, of course, the issues on this strike, and it started today. Today was the strike, and it involves, I think, 45,000 workers. And you're talking all that the East Coast and the Gulf as well. So
35 ports, yeah.
Yes, it's all the biggies, let's face it. And I think there's two issues. One is money. Obviously, that's always the case. But the other is automation. And so
AI, right.
Well, not only AI, but actually physical automation. That is going to obviously affect the number of workers who are needed, and clearly they're fighting that, and that's a harder battle than the money, I think. He has negotiated other agreements successfully, and as I say, I don't doubt for a moment that they can't come to agreement on money. But when you're talking about automation, which is sort of, you know, indigenous to everything these days, that's going to be a battle. This could be a while.
I mean, that burned me up when I left Blue Cross, because that's the reason, one of the reasons I left. I hate that. Ridiculous AI stuff.
Right, and that's AI, but imagine doing something physical, and there are machines that can do it better than you. And I mean better. Well, now you got a problem.
Yeah, and now that you have the Taft-Hartley Act, kind of like the airline Reagan.
Right.
If they could pull the trigger on that, then guess what, Mr. Dagger, you and your people got to go back.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. You know, yeah. And I understand that, but that would be litigated first. You know, that couldn't just be pulled with an executive order.
Or you can't. Yeah, okay. You can't just announce.
Well,
it.
Okay. I guarantee you the litigation will fly. So it's going to be interesting to watch. But yes, have enough toilet paper, but not enough for the millennium.
Right.
All right, Eduardo, I'm glad you called.
Okay,
thank you.
You put me to ease here, because I jumped out of my seat when I saw the Inside Edition this evening. Okay.
Yeah, no, get some, but not enough to last a lifetime.
Right. Okay, Riley.
Right,
thank you very much.
Yeah, because it's going to impact supplies. You know it. And as I say, I don't think it's a short-term thing, but we shall see. All right. So let's get on to things that aren't serious, because that's bordering on serious, and we don't like that. We'll talk more with Rita in Harwood Heights and James on the South Side. He's always good for stories. And Laura in Willowbrook. And there's room for you, too, next hour right here on WGN Radio.
Well, I got a woman mean as she can be. Well, I got a woman mean as she can be. Now, sometimes I think she's almost mean as me. She got a ruby lips, she got shapely hips, yeah. Boy, she makes a royalty. But I got a woman mean as she can be. Sometimes I think she's all mean to me. Well, I ain't bragging, it's understood. Everything I do, well, I sure do it good. Yeah, I got a woman mean as she can be. Sometimes I think she's all mean to me. shapely hips, yeah. Boy, she makes a lovely hip. I got a woman.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Cindy from Chicago. Request Mean Woman Blues. She said I could play it by anybody I wanted, so I picked Roy Orbison, 1962, on Monument. 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. Rita is in Harwood Heights. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
How are you?
I'm kind of in pain, but that's not what I called about.
I'm so
sorry. I have a lot of pain, but I listen to, but I don't always get everything every night. But last night there was somebody by the, I think her name was Karen, and she had been from Norwich.
Okay.
And Harwood Heights is right next to Norwich. We're just a 1 mile village here, but she had mentioned about a resource person, you know, group here, and it is the SEEB Center. However, the SEEB Center is not for everybody because I went over there the other day to get some references for, because I need help here at my house. And the only resources that they have are for people who are needing cooking or shopping or taking care of bed sores or whatever, you know, home type of care.
Right.
And that's not what I needed. But also, you had to be careful of some of these places because I asked about this list that they have. They did give me the list, but they said the only contact they have with them is that they make a criminal check on them. But otherwise, they don't know anything about these people, how they work or anything. So you really had to be pretty selective and ask a lot of questions before you would hire anybody from there.
Absolutely. And, now, let me ask you, on a reference like that, are they charging or is this taken care of by the program?
Well, no. The people who come to your house would determine how much they want to charge you.
Oh, really? So this is not a service?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. It's just like a reference type of thing. The elderly people used to live across the street from me. They used them, and they did some grocery. They had one person who did grocery shopping for them, and then eventually they had to have somebody come in and do help with the cooking and cleaning, but they were not satisfied with that person. They had to let several people go.
And all right.
Well, so you really have to be selective.
Absolutely you do, and this is a little different than I thought because, of course, in programs like hospice and stuff like that, services are provided as part of the program at no cost to the recipient. But if this is basically a referral for work for hire, then there's probably a lot of ways to find referrals that way. It is dangerous having somebody in your house, no doubt about that, and you want to make sure that the people are vetted. So I don't know.
Right, because I had to have somebody when I flooded, I had to have some people here to help me. And I ended up having to have a police call him because one of them was exposing himself. And
what?
Everything. It was just,
oh my God.
It was not a good thing.
Oh my God. Well, you know, that brings up a good question for people who are saying, hey, I've got the funds and I can hire somebody. Where can you go, I wonder, that has referrals that are vetted, you know, where you know exactly who you're getting?
I don't know. I'm sure, you know, we probably hear, because being in the Chicago area, we have a lot of different things here that maybe they don't have in other places. There is another senior group, though, that I have gone to that it's more of a activity type of thing where you go there, you can get your meal maybe for $1.75.
Right. Yeah.
Nice senior meal. And then they have chair exercises and games and that type of thing. But, yeah, so to occupy yourself. But,
right. Those are your basic senior centers. In most cities, even small towns, do have pretty good senior centers for the most part. But when you're asking somebody to come to the house, that's a whole different deal. Maybe somebody listening will know, because, again, it's different than when you're having a service provided by a government entity. This is when you're hiring somebody. How do you find someone who's vetted? Because most of us don't have the wherewithal to do that ourselves.
I know, and I was sick for like 2 years before the pandemic, and then the pandemic hit, and I was really sick then, and so my house is just total clutter, and I finally ended up, I couldn't find anybody to help me declutter the place, so I was going to hire a moving company, because I got to have things moved out of here, I've got to get a new refrigerator, a new air conditioner, and so forth, and I had nobody. So I ended up, this lady that I used to know who was a realtor, I called her, and I asked her if she knew of anybody who would be able to help me with sorting and cleaning out and all, and she had a reference for me. So I have yet to call that lady, but she said she's expensive, but she said, you know, that she could help me.
That makes a lot of sense, because real estate agents have to stage properties very often. You know, the difference between a property being sellable and unsellable is very often staging. So I'll bet you every good real estate agent does have some people. Now, whether or not they're vetted, that's another question. Yeah.
Right.
Well, good luck. Yeah. That's terrible when you're sitting there and you don't physically have the capability to do it, and you're looking at it saying, something's got to happen here. So I understand.
Right.
Yeah. Good luck on that.
And I have a few requests if I could.
I don't see why not. Let me get a pencil and piece of paper. What you want?
Well, there's this, you know, in the Chicago Tribune, they had this, I get the puzzle page, and they have this word search, and I put myself to sleep sometimes at night doing that. But they had one that was called 1950 songs.
Okay.
And there was one there called Imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fever was another one.
Right. Little Willie John, of course.
And then there's one that I used to like. It's not on this list, but it was called The Night the Music Died.
Oh.
And then there's another one that I liked in the past. It's called I'll Never Love Again.
Hmm.
And then there's one, Isaac Hayes had one called Hot Buttered Popcorn.
Right.
And my patients that we back then.
Hot buttered soul, I think, but okay. Yes, I'm aware. The Supremes actually had hot buttered popcorn. That was a disaster. But anyway, hot buttered soul, yes.
Yeah, I liked him.
Yeah.
And then that dinosaur person in Ohio, I don't like the dinosaur stuff, but anyway, he had requested one night, and I didn't catch it all because I'm not always on the radio, but Strangers on the Shore.
Oh, sure, Mr. Akrabilk. Sure.
I didn't hear all of that at all because I'm not always able to listen. But
now, I'm back to Imagine, because the Imagine I know, unfortunately, is a horrible John Lennon song. But there was a song in the 50s, Imagination.
Well, maybe, okay.
Because I'll look to see if there's a 50 Imagine, but in 1950, Doris Day and the others had it, Imagination. So I wonder.
Okay.
And it was around Imagination. I think that song was around from the 40s, but it was like Glenn Miller's orchestra, things like that. And then there were other renditions, including everybody from Steve Allen, like I say, to, you know, June Christie or Doris Day. So I have a feeling, because just Imagine itself, I can't imagine that a 50s compilation is talking about a 70s song. So,
yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. And also, you know, you do so much good for people. I'm just amazed on the number of people who have low vision.
Oh,
they call in.
You know, absolutely. It's very unfortunate that it is an almost ignored minority of people. And especially as you start to get older, when vision loss is a new thing for you, that's monumentally harder than being born not able to see.
Right. And my mother was totally blind by the time she died.
Uh-huh.
She had gone through all the different things and ended up with macular degeneration. And then when she died, she was totally blind. And now I have a sister who has the same thing. She's 91 years old now.
Wow.
But she's like 90% blind.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have another sister who's being diagnosed, and she's getting shots in her eyes for the same thing.
Right.
But I've contributed to the Macular Degeneration Association.
Uh-huh.
And also the Glaucoma Society. And I get their news flyers, and they're doing some really good things with glaucoma.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wish I had a copy of it here.
No, absolutely. There's a number of trials that are going on even at this time, and that's obviously different from AMD. But there are so many things that can affect vision. And anybody who starts to notice that they're suddenly having vision problems, don't wait. Go to the ophthalmologist. Find out what's going on.
Right.
Yeah, because right. Because there are some things that they can, if they may not be able to cure it, but they can prevent the succession of it.
Right.
So absolutely. But you know, it's terrible in this country, unfortunately, how we treat blind people. I'm talking more blind from birth, but as well, you know, these are people who can't see. They can do everything else. They can think. They can function. They can be brilliant or not brilliant, depending upon the individual. But very often, they're just treated like this silent minority. That oh, you can't see. Well, then you're useless. And that is so far from the truth. And it's one of the uh-huh. things in this country, and our government is a perpetrator of it as well, unfortunately.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, anything we can do for people who just happen not to be able to see, and that's the only thing that they're fighting, because, again, you know, the amount of people who treat them like they can't think just causes me to punch the wall.
I know. It's terrible.
It is terrible.
You know, what I've done, you and John have been on my mind a lot. And with John being, you know, being disabled, well, with his stroke and everything, that was terrible. Mm. And he's still having problems. And yeah. what I did is with my church, I belong to St. Eugene Church here on Foster Avenue. And it's now called Mother of Peace, I guess, Queen of Peace, whatever. But I have a mass being said for you too on October the 9th.
Thank you so much. I really
You're
appreciate
welcome.
That. I do believe prayers work, and I'm grateful, so thank you.
You're welcome.
All right,
and
Rita.
Keep up the good work.
Well, you too. Keep me posted.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. All right.
Thank you.
888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. I think the older we get, the more we're facing challenges of all type. And I think the difference between really having a life worth living and not is being willing to embrace what you need to do to get what you need in a different way than before. And many people are just hesitant to do that. But I think that you need to look at it as it's a new way to design life. But there's nothing you can't have. 888-876-5593. We got Laura in Willowbrook. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. I just couldn't resist telling you my Department of Motor Vehicles story and see what you think and if you've ever experienced this.
Can't wait to hear it. Go for it.
Okay. Well, for a medical reason, my driver's license privileges were stopped. Okay, so my driver's license is still good through the year 2027, okay?
Right.
So I'm like, okay, my doctor says, oh, okay, you're okay to drive now. You're medically cleared, you're fine, you know, so go get your driver's license. So I go to get my driver's license. Oh, well, you need a note from your doctor so they wouldn't see me.
Right.
So I go back another day. My doctor types up a letter. I bring it in. Oh, well, the letter's not good enough. You have to fill out a form.
Right.
So, again, now I'm back for like the third or fourth time. I'm like, okay, I bring them the form. Oh, it looks like they didn't date it or whatever, or they left some little thing out. I says, really? Okay, they says, and you know, too, okay, they said, okay. So I come back with it all filled out. Oh, it was like 3 o'clock, and they close at like 4:30. Well, you're here too late.
No.
The medical department is already gone for the day, and also you're going to have to take a driving test and a written test along with this. I'm like, what? So that's what, 4 or 5 visits.
Oh,
so I go back the next time plenty early. I even made an appointment because I like, I don't know if I need an appointment, if I could just walk in, who knows. So I go the next time, get your picture taken. It says after waiting an hour, they said, oh, well, you don't need a written test or a driving test, your license doesn't expire until 2027. I said, that's what I tried to tell them, but they made me come back. So finally, after like, what, the 6th time, I finally got my driver's license. Have you heard of any such craziness as
well,
I went through?
Well, what happened is two things collided. Number one, I half blame your doctor. The doctor should have known there is a form, because in every state it's the same. I've seen this everywhere. Now, they may call it different numbers and all that, but there is a form for the reinstatement. And every doctor should be aware of this form and how to properly fill it out. And so that part, I put that right on your doctor. Now, the other half, like I say, this is bureaucracies colliding. The other half, the idea that it's 3 o'clock, it's too late, that's crazy time. You know, if that were the case, they should have told you on the first visit, look, medical is here between 10 and 3 or what have you. So I blame them for that. And yes, the idiot clerk who didn't look to see the license was still valid. The only time you have to retake the stuff is if the license has expired. And this is pretty much the same, like I say, I can say it with conviction because it's almost the same everywhere else. But that form itself, shame on your doctor.
Yeah, I just thought it's like it's not like it's my doctor's first day. I thought there was something wrong with, like, why didn't the doctor know this?
So, like, that's right.
This can't possibly be the first time.
Right, right. That's exactly right. Why didn't the doctor know this?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But thank God it's over. It's over for the time being. And see, you got to meet new people while you waited forever at the DMV.
I sure did. Yeah. And I just wanted to let everybody else know, too, because be careful when you go there. Make sure you get all the information.
Yeah, absolutely. You betcha.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, thanks.
All right,
appreciate
it. Thanks.
Yeah. And in most states, what you need is online. And so you can look at the website and see what they're going to require so that at least you're loaded for bear when you go in. But, yeah, meet all sorts of new people while you spend your entire day waiting. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH on WGN Radio. I think. Well, maybe not. All right, so I'll just continue to prattle on until news time, and we'll make up for the bumper later, and we'll welcome Fran in Austin and the Social Security saga. All right, Fran, we'll start now and finish after the news. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I've survived so far. What happened? I'll try to make it as brief as possible, but it's bureaucracy at work, so it's not going to be that brief.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I get a letter on the last day of the month telling me I'm not going to get my SSI check on the 1st.
Why?
So,
what's the letter say?
No, what's going on? They said they needed some information. My address or something. And I thought, well, if they need my address, they were able to send me this.
Right.
They obviously don't need my address. What is going on here?
Right.
So I got up bright and early because I tried to call the 800 number. And, of course, at first I've got an over 120-minute waiting time.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. So I call bright and early in the morning, and I get through to somebody, and she gives me the number for somebody else, which is supposed to be my worker. And apparently the reason that they were cutting me off, they were supposedly sent me a letter in July, which I never got, saying I was supposed to have a review, and that I had an appointment that day. And so, of course, I'm thinking I have to go down there, so I'm scrambling, trying to think, okay, how am I going to do this?
All right, hang on a minute. We're gonna leave you in appointment hell and pick it up right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Quisiera que supieras, vida mía, lo mucho que te quiero y que te adoro. Tú vives en mi pensamiento y ahora me arrepiento si yo te hice llorar. Yo nunca te abatí con la mentira. Yo siempre te abatí con la verdad. Quisiera que olvides.
es el pasado, que vuelvas a mi lado, que tengas compasión. Believe me when I say how much I love you. Believe me when I say how much I care. Forgive me peace of mind. All I need is time to prove my love for you.
WGN Radio, I'm Ronnie James. That's Renee Renee. And that got to number 14 nationally in 1968. Lo mucho que te quiero, the more I love you. And yeah, that was a follow-up to Angelito, which was a big regional hit. And I play that because Renee Herrera would have been 89 today, born in Laredo in 1935. And Renee and his partner Renee Ornelas were one of the first Chicano groups ever on American Bandstand. And they were, of course, they're in the Tejano Music Hall of Fame, as you'd expect. Renee Ornelas is still alive, 88 this August he did. But sadly, Renee Herrera, he's been gone a while. I think he died in 2005, 70 years old. So rest in peace. Maybe we got to play Angelito, because that was a swell record, too. All right, now, before we get back to Fran, we've left her at Social Security hell, which is a fate almost worse than death. And we'll pick it up right there. But John said, Dwight is driving. He's on the highway in Kansas, and you might not have him for too long. So, Dwight, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, thanks for taking my call.
Okay, so are we on I-70?
Yes, we're headed from Idaho all the way to Arkansas on a 24-hour car ride.
Oh, man, so tell me the story.
All right, so every year, my father-in-law and brother-in-law, we live in Arkansas, we go up to Jackson Hole, Wyoming on a fishing trip. And on this fishing trip, my brother-in-law had the bright idea to buy a new truck. So, you know, and I don't know, maybe he got too happy catching all them fish. So we get done fishing. We had an awesome fishing trip. We caught 80 fish in 2 days.
All right.
And it was fantastic, beautiful. Well, he buys this truck, and we're supposed to fly back to Arkansas tomorrow. So he buys it. And then we're like, all right, what should I do? I should be a good brother-in-law. I should offer to drive it back with him. And so here we are 15 hours into the 24-hour car ride, and I just happened to catch your radio station. So first-time caller, first-time listener.
Great to have you. Now, are you actually going to deadhead it? Are you going to keep driving until you get to Arkansas?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
we're
both here in the car, and he drove the first 10 hours. I'm pulling up the rear.
All right, so I-70 in Kansas, what city are you closest to, or town, I should say?
Look on Hayes, Kansas.
Oh, Hayes. Okay, yes, absolutely. I say Hayes because the interesting story about Hayes, I used to have to fly across the country all the time, and I'd sit there and I'd listen to the radio in the planes, and there was a station in Hayes, KJLS, and you could pick up this station. It would be halfway across the country. Now, on the ground, forget about it, but in the air, KJLS was just magnificent. So, yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I know.
What a small world.
Absolutely. So I know just where you are, the lovely lovely Hayes. And, well, this shouldn't be too... Where in Arkansas?
Bentonville, so northwest
okay.
corner.
Right, exactly. Yes, we're talking not all that far from... why can't I think of it right now? Branson, Missouri.
Branson, yes.
Yeah,
it's about an hour away.
Yes, right, I know. Or actually 2 hours when you consider how much traffic it is on that damn two-lane going in and out of Branson. But
that's if you don't stop to throw up on all the back roads.
Right. So I would think, because you're not going to do this all interstate. Well, you will mostly interstate. You probably got about 6.5 hours to go.
Here's the best part of the story.
Uh-oh.
We leave on our flight, so we drive from Arkansas to Tulsa because they got a direct flight.
Yeah.
So we're pulling in the parking lot. We're grabbing our stuff because we're, of course, late for a 5 a.m. flight. So we're getting our stuff running across. We look down. The back tire is going flat, like
no.
as we saw it.
No.
And so we bought this truck, skipped our flight, we're going to the hotel or the airport at, we'll get there at 5:30, so in a few hours. And we're going to have to change a flat tire. Still drive 2 more hours after that in 2 separate cars.
Oh, no. So now, are you telling me you're going to go back down to Tulsa and then over to Bentonville?
Yeah, because our car, when we flew out here, we flew out of Tulsa.
Right.
So now we got to go back to get the car, and we know there's a flat tire.
Oh,
so
no.
We get there at 5 in the morning.
Yeah, this will not be pretty. Oh, man.
No.
All right. Well, it'll be easy sailing till you get to Tulsa. And then, well, I guess you'll take 412 after that.
Man, you know your stuff.
Well, I had this hobby years ago where I decided I was going to drive every inch of interstate. But I could do it back then because it was the 1960s when there weren't that many inches of interstate.
That's true.
But I guess 412, didn't that become like 244 or something? I've not been on it.
Yeah, it goes into 244, and then we take it to 49 when you get into Arkansas.
Right,
and then go north a little bit.
Up and over, yeah. That's not too bad, actually. But, yeah, all right. So Tulsa, huh? You think you'll get there at 5 in the morning, do you?
Yeah,
and,
oh, boy.
And what are you going to do about this tire?
Well, we just watched a YouTube video on how to change the tire because it's one of those that it's underneath the car instead of just, a regular spare.
Well,
so.
Thank God for that, by the way. I had a Corvette that was underneath it, and that was a bitch, so good luck. But recently, I've got a 95 Z28, and I recently got it new tires, and I said, well, pick the best one for the spare. And the guy looked at me and said, there's no spare. This car doesn't come with a spare. Like, not even a little rubber tire? Nothing. Okay, well.
You better get some run flats on there.
Yeah, you betcha. So this will be an interesting drive, and I have a feeling, just by the sound of your voice, that payback's going to be a bitch.
That's right. His ass is going to drive a truck with me back next year, too.
Uh-huh. This will be a good time. I hope you're going to report in again, Dwight.
All righty. Will do. What time you get off the air?
Another hour and 15 minutes.
I might catch you tomorrow then on the next show.
Okay. No, that'd be great. Anytime you want. It's 10 to 1 Central. And Monday through Thursday, we're live. And I'd love to hear from you anytime.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks,
Dwight.
Thanks
for my call.
Okay, bye. All right. I'm vicariously riding with Dwight. I love to ride. All right, so my interstate driving days are over, but I've done most of them, over the years. So finally I did my last protest route. For years, I wouldn't do I-19. And the reason I wouldn't do I-19, well, come on, where does it go? From Tucson to Nogales, you're divided 4-lane, paving the way for everybody who wants to come in from Mexico. That wasn't the big problem. The numbers are in kilometers. Now, I'll take that in Canada, because that's a foreign country and they're able to do it any way they want. Although I got a funny story about that. And do I ever. But in the United States, no. Kilometers, just no. But anyway, I-19 is. But so I used to drive a lot in Canada, because I drive up to Alaska and stuff. But one time I was with John and we've been driving for hours and, we're busy converting the kilometers into miles. And we get to some small town and it says, population 21,832, and John says, how much is that in kilometers? And no, he wasn't serious, but it was that way all the way around. Now, with that in mind, let's get back to Fran. We're going back to hell. Yes, the E-trip downward as we talk to Social Security.
All right. Anyway.
Yes, so they've told you you've missed the meeting, right?
Yeah, they told me I missed a meeting, and they said that I had a meeting scheduled for that day, which I had no notification of, and I told them I didn't hear anything about this July meeting, and I didn't get any notification about having an appointment today. So she said, okay, well, and she gave me a number that was supposed to be and for my caseworker, which I didn't even know I had,
I don't even
know who my caseworker is. So anyway, I call this number, and it rings and rings and rings and rings and rings, and then there's not even a voicemail.
Oh, no.
And so I think, well, you know, because I got up really early in the morning. I mean, I couldn't sleep anyway. I was just all upset. So, you know, I got up like at 7 o'clock in the morning, which is unusual, very unusual. But anyway, so through a whole round of stuff, I found out that I had the wrong number. So because I had to call the 800 number. Well, I called the one in my area, right. And they had the thing where you can put yourself in line and they'll call you back.
Okay.
So the lady that called me back was pretty nice, and then I found out that I had the wrong number.
Lovely.
So then I called the other number, and she said, oh, yes. Well, she said, you have an appointment and we'll call you between 11 and 4. So I said, okay. You know, I'm here, and, you know, at least I found out in the nick of time, but,
right.
You know. And so I wait, and it's about 10 minutes to 4. So I call back, and all the lady says, is this not 4 o'clock yet, ma'am?
Oh, Jesus.
And I said, well, I was told that if something went wrong with the appointment that I should call this number and reschedule. And it's 10 to 4 now, and I don't want to have to wait another day, you know, and go through this. I need to get this now. I have rent to pay. I have things that,
right.
You know, I was not aware of this. I had no warning of this and, you know, so forth. And so anyway, finally, they did call me. It was after, I think it was after 5. I didn't expect they were going to call. And so
right. In
the meantime, I had made a ride to go in first thing in the morning.
Right.
Because I was just going to bop myself over there with that letter and make somebody
talk to me. Absolutely. That's right. Raise hell. Sorry. So here comes the phone call. What'd they say?
So anyway, I had my little review, and I'm supposed to get my check by the end of the week. Now, I didn't realize at the time that they didn't say which week. You know, it's
right.
Like prosperity is just around the corner.
Yes.
You know, but I don't know which corner.
Right. No, I got that.
So I'm still on pins and needles, and I will be until I see that check in the bank. But, you know, they wanted the usual information from me.
What, they want to know if you're still blind?
Well, no, they wanted all this financial stuff.
Oh, to make sure you didn't make too much money.
Right. You know, when they wanted to, then they asked me, you know, because, of course, Gary and I are, for their purposes, roommates.
Right.
And they asked me Gary's income.
Right.
And I said, well, he pays his own bills.
Right.
And she left it at that.
Okay.
Fortunately.
Yeah.
But anyway, it just was, you know, going around and around in circles, and nobody knew what they were doing, and I was getting more and more upset. I was trying to be, you know, take care of business all the time. My heart's going 9 miles an hour, and between phone calls, I'm sobbing.
Oh, yeah. Believe me, I know. And it's sobbing and frustration. I understand this well.
It's pure anger. It's not,
right.
You know, it's just like the frustration of not being able to clear this up and talk to somebody.
Right. A real person.
Hear what I'm trying to tell them.
Exactly. No, I relate to this. And so many things now that are a hybrid of AI and human are just finorked into the next century, because I'm sure you didn't get these letters because whatever computer was supposed to send them didn't. So that was number one as far as that goes. And so then you get a letter, you're losing your benefits. However, the letter that would have told you when you had a meeting was never sent. And we know they weren't sent. It's not like they couldn't come.
I did say to the woman, you know, I said, it's really interesting to me that I can get the message, the punitive letter, but I cannot get the messages leading up to that.
Well, see, that's why I say that's why I said it's an AI glitch. That's exactly what happened here. But it's maddening as hell. Yeah, of course they don't. Yes, I know you don't know. Yeah, when they say I'm sorry, yes, you are sorry. We've determined that. All right. So Yeah, believe me. And yeah, I've been going through a similar thing with an account that John administers for somebody, and it involves investments from an investment broker. Okay, fine. So they're going to send you a DocuSign. All right. But first, you have to verify you're you. Well, of course, it becomes impossible to do that, to cut to the chase. And then you call them, oh, well, we'll just resend this. No, you won't. And then it will just click on this link. Okay, this link goes to a page that says you cannot see your documents. I know I can't
and
see
around,
my...
And,
right,
yeah,
right. I know I can't
we
see
go,
my documents.
Where we stop, nobody knows.
Well, that's exactly right. So after a while, this has been going on now for days. After a while, I just laugh. You know, it's like, okay, fine. Eventually, somebody will figure this out. But all these time-saving things, well, like we were talking about last night, the horrible thought of AI on your electronic medical records.
Oh, you know? That was horrible. That gave me the chills.
I know. I'm still horrified by that. So, yeah, if you use your electronic record for a question to your doctor, don't necessarily assume it's your doctor who's answering. So,
right. Yeah, I don't like, I've kind of sort of learned to navigate it, but I do not like, what is that thing called? I can't even think of it. My chart.
Oh, that's the company that's using the AI.
Yeah, I heard that. I definitely heard that.
Because there are other brands, scary. But yes, a lot of different entities, hospitals and providers use my chart. And so we have
At one point, when I was talking to the representative, I had a sneaking little thing that went in my brain like, you know, because she's just, you know, I can tell she's on autopilot.
Of course.
But in my brain, I thought for a second, I wonder if she's real.
Yeah.
And my friend, okay, you conspiracy theorist, go to my house.
Yeah.
Take off your conspiracy hat.
No, well, if it crossed my mind, I think I would have asked, you know.
I said something that would not have... the answer probably could not have been scripted.
Yeah, that's exactly
what you test for.
That's exactly what you go for. Usually I'll say, well, if you're real, then translate my social security number into base 5.
So, I haven't thought of that one. That's good. I like it.
And, you know, not that I'm expecting them to do it, but by their reaction, I'm going to know. So
exactly. Yeah, I haven't gotten that creative, but I have said something that, you know, you can't answer with a yes or no.
Exactly.
Or, you know, a kind of a standard script thing.
Precisely.
You know, it would be off script enough that if they didn't answer it, you know, I would know.
You almost have to do this now, which is really frightening. Well,
yeah, especially because they can make it to sound like somebody else's voice.
Oh,
I could be out somewhere and somebody could call Gary using my voice and say that something is wrong with me and he has to do this or that or the other thing, and he would be scared possibly and do it.
I know.
So we have a code.
Right. And you should have
a code.
And
if that person cannot answer that code, that is not me.
That's right. Absolutely. No, everybody should do that because that's becoming chilling. That was one of the issues actually in the AI medical thing was in some cases they are able to sound like your doctor.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, boy. That's just what I want. All right.
Yeah.
Well, good deal. Now, so Friday, we think maybe on Friday the 4th, there'll be a mysterious deposit in your account. Well, I guess we're going to find out, aren't we?
I will hope.
Let me know. Yeah, I absolutely want to know about this. Keep me posted.
I will keep you posted as soon as I get that.
That fortune from SSI. Yes. All right.
Right.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay,
all right.
Bye.
Yes. Right. She can go to town on that or not. All right. So we've got Johnny D. We've got Cindy. We've got James and you two on WGN Radio.
me tell you I was at a movie with nothing else to do. Looking at the rain on my window pane. When she smiled at me, then everyone could see the rain was gone. I've never been so
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Renee Moore, and that is Angelito, 1964 on Jocks. That was Abe Epstein's label in San Antonio, and that got picked up by a major and actually was almost a hit. So, or not. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888, Raleigh. And we have Johnny D. Welcome back to WGN.
Hola, como esta usted?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, I was singing in Spanish like that.
Yeah, right. You're going to do the whole audiolingual dialogue method to song. Very good.
Yeah. Ahí Talante. Yeah. Down the hall. Where's the library? Don the Keeler.
No. Yeah, en la biblioteca was the second lesson of that big red Spanish book they had. Yes, I remember it well. They kicked me out. But anyway, what are we talking about? I'm hearing nothing but silence. Johnny D, are you still there? Hello, Johnny D. All right, I don't know. All right, we'll put him on hold and we'll try again. But are you there? 1, 2, 3. And he waited so long, too. Well, Johnny D, call me back. Your phone just obviously attacked you. It was bound to happen, don't you know? All right, so Laura and Willowbrook, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, Riley, I just found some information that I had forgotten about. This is for basically DuPage County, Illinois, but I bet just every place, every county probably has something like this. They have 211dupage.gov, and it gives you free or discounted services. They refer you for transportation services. I know you can get a discount or free bus, education, employment, food. That they say that's a great place if you need, like, the Meals on Wheels program, which is free.
Mm-hmm.
They have health referrals, housing referrals.
Oh, absolutely. And not only can you call 211 on your mobile phone, but if you go to 211dupage.gov on any web browser, it'll give you the same information. I don't know
really?
If it, yes, absolutely. That's the only, because I don't use a cell phone, so that's the way I access everything. And you can go to 211dupage.gov and it comes right up. And it's easy enough. Choose a zip code, choose the city, and whether it's housing and utility or disaster or food or transportation or clothing or legal and public safety.
Good.
This is great. Now, you say you imagine every county has them. Don't hold your breath on that.
Really?
I don't. Yes,
really?
I think this is great, but I don't know that. I don't know who else does.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, if they don't, they should.
Well, I agree. But no, this is marvelous. I do not. 211 will give you health and social service resources. That's wonderful. No, I absolutely do not know if other cities have that.
Well, I'm glad you knew a little about that.
Yeah.
And I hear they also have clothing and type of things. It's just, hey, it doesn't hurt to check. And probably have some services for the nearly seeing or not seeing at all people. And
Right. There are 211 services. Actually, I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe it's sponsored through the United Way. So they have them in a number of cities, but not, or a number of counties, but not all. So I'm going to look it up to see if I can find out if they are, where they are. That'd be nice. When it says find a local 211 or search by location. So let's go to Richmond, Illinois, Richmond, Wisconsin, and see if they have one for Jim. Let's see. No, I don't think that works. That's not even the right state. All right, so I'll keep looking. I'll have to look up a zip code because I think that'll help me more.
All right.
Yeah, but that's
well,
Raleigh, that's
you're
a good
always
idea.
A wealth of knowledge.
No.
I'm always amazed of what you've heard about or what you know. Oh my
gosh.
Well,
but obviously I didn't think about it, so you're the genius here, and thank you very much.
Well, I'm glad to help. Thanks,
absolutely.
Raleigh.
Okay, bye. All right. So, yeah, I hadn't even thought about that, and I don't know how. I know they've got it in every state, but I don't know how prevalent, like in small towns. But we're going to look that up. First, I'll look for the zip code for Richmond. And meanwhile, Johnny D has called back. Oh, good. Did your phone attack you?
I don't know what happened there, Raleigh. I mean, John says to me when I called back, he goes, do you have your phone under control now?
Yeah.
And I said to him, I didn't do anything.
Well, maybe you did. Well, maybe you did. Maybe it was a note in what you were singing that just disconnected it.
Nah, there ain't nobody going to do that to me in the entire world.
Well, I don't know. I used to have a friend who could whistle 2,600 cycles, free calls for all.
What does that sound like, 2,300?
2,600. You can
roll out. I mean, roll.
No. You can go on. You can go online and hear it. I'm sure very few people use step by step anymore, so it won't work today. But it used to be the key to free calls. So let me.
Wow.
See. Oh yeah, and.
You mean when they had them phone booths all over the place?
Well, you didn't even need phone booths even at home. When the switching was still step by step before they went to crossbar and EAS and or EAX depending on who you were with, but anything could be happening just by breaking that 2,600 cycle by pulsing it. In any event, I'll bet you if I go to YouTube. I don't know if this is true, but I'm going to go to YouTube here on my little laptop and see if I can get a recording of 2,600 cycles.
Wow. It's not going to hurt my ears, is it?
No, it's not going to hurt anything. But the big problem is I don't see it here, so I'll have to look. I'm sure that I can find it somewhere, but it won't do you any good anymore.
Okay, well, let's start over.
Yeah.
Unburdened by what has been.
Okay, very good.
Let's see here. No, so I was telling you, did you get anything about Benjamin being here, sleeping over?
No, I didn't, but I found 2,600 cycles, so let's see if I can hold the computer.
Yeah, play it for us.
Hold the computer up to the microphone.
Oh, my God, shut that off, my ears.
Yeah, that's 2,600 cycles. And so, yeah.
Somebody could whistle like that?
Oh, yes, Joe Ingrassia, he could, exactly. Yes.
Jeez, oh, man.
And boy, I tell you, when he went off to college in Tampa, he went to University of South Florida, boy, the girls would flock around him because back then long-distance calls were very expensive. So he could whistle them free calls home.
Wow. Man, he had something to offer. Huh?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Anyhow, so, yeah, this is the dinosaur guy from Ohio. The one lady that was requesting
Yes, right, that's
song.
Right, yes, exactly.
I'm thinking, what? Did you see me? Well, and then I'm thinking, wait a minute. Yeah. She was probably saying hominid.
Right, exactly. Well,
the dinosaur guy.
Yeah, right. Well, the dinosaurs were a little earlier than the hominids, but what can I tell you?
About 62 million years ago.
Yeah. So, well, what's a few million here and there?
All right, here, a couple of things. Like I say, as I'm listening, Raleigh, and I was on hold for a while, and I was listening to all the callers, and what was it that, okay, well, what Fran's call, a song request came to mind.
Yes.
And there was a couple of song requests I have, but if it ain't one thing,
it's another.
It's the other.
Okay.
It's another.
Sure.
Who made that?
Oh, Richard Dimples Fields.
Remember that song?
Yeah, I love Richard Dimples Fields. Dimples is one of my faves.
Well, I didn't know. I just remembered the song because if it ain't one thing, it's another.
Right. Oh, it's a wonderful song.
Okay, I want that. And then, I swear I heard Eduardo on Billy. I wish he would ask him one time. I heard him call Billy Cunningham on his Sunday night show, Eduardo.
Oh, well,
he calls him.
Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah, so it's a crazy mix.
I couldn't believe it. I'm scared to call Elliot.
Oh, well, I don't know why.
Nah, he's too good at it. He's too good at it. I mean, you're great. You're great.
No.
Something about him that intimidates me.
Well, don't let it.
All right. No, because Eduardo's got good things to throw out at him. Me, I just say, Willie.
Yeah.
I just be stunned, you know. But what am I doing here? So here's the reason why I called Raleigh, real quickly. Maybe you could tell me. You know, when you put your book online a few weeks ago, to
yes.
me, you know?
Yes.
Well, I read about the first 26 pages or something, okay? On my tablet.
Yeah.
Which I don't like to read off of, but yeah. I was trying. And in the, I think it was chapter one, The Power of Belief.
Oh, okay? Yeah.
And you said something about goat gonads? What?
Oh, no. Yeah, this is the guy who was the first person to lose a radio license in the state of Kansas. Arguably the first person to get one, too. But we're talking about the wonderful, talented Dr. Brinkley. And yes, related to the guy who was Huntley Brinkley, who was Brinkley on Huntley Brinkley. But anyway, Dr. Brinkley was supposedly a doctor of what? Well, that's, and you can read all about it in the book, that's up for grabs, but he came up with the idea that he could restore virility in men by replacing their testes with goat glands. Now,
I heard you talk about just before.
Yeah, this is true. Well, anyway, so he winds up losing the license in Kansas, not for that, but for close. He used to dispense a lot of medical advice, and it always ended with getting one of his potions by mail. And so the FCC took a dim view of this and pulled his license. But what he discovered was the border blasters. He could actually get a signal from Del Rio, Texas, actually Ciudad Acuña in Mexico. But nonetheless, that would be at the time 250,000 watts. Well, that was irresistible. So down to Del Rio he went, and he would, you know, transmit the signal across the board. And he opened a clinic there, and that's why the joke was
what's a goat going there?
Right. That's what the joke was. What's the fastest thing on 4 feet? A goat walking past the Brinkley Clinic.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
So anyway. You wouldn't believe the number of people who did this and claimed that
they believed.
They did. Belief. And the editor of the Los Angeles Times, I don't know if whoever owned it, Chandler or somebody, made him do this. And he did. And that's how Dr. Brinkley became so famous, because the editor claimed that, yes, it worked. It put a gluttonous strut and a glide in a stride. And so he didn't say it exactly that way. But nonetheless, the Los Angeles Times publicized this. And, of course, the goat gland experience grew and grew and grew. Ultimately, he died in shame. It was a long story. But I'll tell you, the AMA was not pleased with this guy. But yes, that was Dr. Brinkley.
The power of belief. So in other words, if you believe something.
Well, you know, actually, Brinkley wasn't the real punctuation of that chapter. It was the two stories. One was the story that Milton Maltz told. And Milton Maltz was a cosmetic surgeon who realized early on that he was really operating on the mind, that he could make tremendous changes in people, but if they mentally weren't on board for it, they wouldn't see it. They wouldn't think so. On the other hand...
I think I read that.
Right, exactly. So that was the guy. He was a guy, I think he was Jamaican, but anyway, he comes in with his girlfriend who the doctor, Dr. Maltz, knew, could see was a money grabber. And so he said to the patient, who was a wealthy guy, I'll do this under the condition you tell your girlfriend that it cost you all the money you have. And so he did this. And when the guy tells his girlfriend, she casts a spell on him. All right. She turns into Screaming Jay Hawkins. I put a spell on you. Anyway, end of story. If this was America, we'd have all laugh about it. But this guy has the surgery, goes home, and he discovers this lump in his mouth. Now, the reality was it was just scar tissue, but he didn't know that. So he goes to a witch doctor there. And the witch doctor says, oh, yeah, it's the dreaded bug. And so he comes back to Dr. Maltz a month later.
Didn't some kind of worms or something?
Yeah, right, well,
come
no, that's the other guy. But he comes up a month later. Dr. Maltz is looking at him and saying, my God, you look to be 150 years old. He's shaking and all this, and he says, well, I'm going to die, you know. And so anyway, Maltz does a little inpatient, you know, in-office surgery, pulls out the little piece of flesh and explains to him, no, that's no bug. That's just a piece of scar tissue. Well, within a week, the guy regained his virility. So that was one story. But the other story, which I loved, was a different doctor. I'm trying to think of his name right now, but I will. In fact, I will in a moment. Hang on. Stay right where you are. Don't go away. And we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio.
I'm making this song for all the people who at times in their lives feel bad. You know when you feel like even your blues have blues?
If it ain't one thing, it's another. If it ain't one thing, it's another. It's a crazy mixed up world, it's a dog-eat-dog world. Life is full of strife, people just aren't nice. Everybody's talking smack, running games on this and that. Racial resentment adds to discontentment. Talk to any guy, he'll tell you taxes are too high. Books, movies are corrupt, suicide is way up. It's all a sorry lot. Some folks say it's cause of pride. Phony ego trips. Wow, everyone has flipped. If it ain't one thing,
it's another.
If it ain't one thing,
it's another.
WGN Radio. Yeah, everybody's shacking up. Married folks are packing up. Country's going up in smoke. Where is Noah with that boat? Yes, Richard Dimples Fields. I think I've heard it a few times. All right, so that's for Johnny D. All right, so.
That's it. That's the song I was talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's
you know, that could apply to any, almost any time.
Absolutely, it could. Yeah. It's a wonderful song, yeah. 1982. Yes.
82.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, you know that. You know that from the.
My first daughter was born in 82.
But you know that from the lyrics. Anyhow. You know. In any event, let's talk about Dr. Drayton Doherty here a moment, because he was my favorite of any of those stories. And what the deal was, he had a patient, Vance Vanders. And Vance Vanders was a black man on the brink of death. And no matter how many tests were run, nothing came back positive. And it appeared that what Vance was insisting, that he was a goner, was absolutely true. Well,
they called him the voodoo guy.
Well, yeah, because the doctor couldn't figure it up. And the way that the doctor found out what was happening is his wife confided and said, and she said it like with absolute conviction, well, no, my husband's going to die because of the witch doctor. Yes. Or as I said in the book, the unfortunate medical encounter of the witch doctor kind. Yes. Nothing could save him, the wife says. And, you know, if it became known that she revealed the curse, then she and her children were going to die too. So that's why she never said anything to anyone. So Doherty's thinking about this, thinking, all right, I got to do something. And so he comes back the next day, and it was just brilliant. He enlists the help of a nurse who was in on the ruse. And what he what he requests is all of Vander's next of kin had to be assembled by the bed. And here comes Doherty striding into the room with confidence, informing everybody that he learned of the curse and had in fact... confronted the voodoo priest responsible. And he tells us a whole story about how he choked the truth out of him and all that. And then he says, the witch doctor infused lizard eggs in your stomach. And of all that hatched, only one was left. And with that in mind, the deal is that the doctor says, I can cure him in the nick of time. So he signals a nurse, and she's got a syringe that was the guaranteed antidote, which, of course, in reality was guaranteed to make the guy vomit. Now, as the guy's retching into the bedpan, Doherty reaches into his pocket for a reptile, you know, a small plastic thing from a kid set, slips it past the notice of anybody, puts it in the barf bowl, and minute later, with great fanfare, he says, see, it's come out. Vance, meanwhile, goes, you know, backwards in the bed, passes out. When he awakens, he's ravenous and he's healed within a day. Hang on a minute, don't go away. So that is the power of belief. Now we'll find out the power of the news on WGN Radio.
Thank you.
WGN Radio. I know you're saying, what the? Yeah, that's Esquivel. And Juan Esquivel was actually well-known throughout Mexico and many other places, musician. And he was a band leader and a pianist and a composer. And in some ways, he was sort of thought of the king of space-age pop, if you will. He combined lounge music and Latin flavors and some very odd instrumentation, to say the least. And so, yeah, space age bachelor pad music, I read somewhere. But the reason that I played it, you're saying, by the way, what was it? Yes, My Blue Heaven. Certainly you should have recognized it. And Dan from Cary wanted to hear it. And at first I thought, now, where on earth would he have known that? But it was actually used in the trailer for a movie a couple of years ago, Malibu Road. So maybe that's from where. He died in 2002, really before he became all the rage to some extent, because everything started coming out on CD. He was actually probably most prolific in the late 50s and the early 60s, but as I say, for most people, they never heard of him. But the deal was that you look at movies more recently and TV shows, and you'll see that his music is peppered in it. And you can do the reading yourself should you be interested. But the bottom line is, with the addition of, I think they brought out like over a dozen CDs of this guy, you can hear it all. And it's not only odd instrumentation, but it's very odd nonsensical lyrics. Yeah, Zuzu and stuff like that. But anyway, you can check it out. So Esquivel, and hopefully Dan and Cary heard it, because he requested that a month ago, and it took me a while to remember and find his email. So back to Johnny D. So that was the deal.
No, not to interrupt, Rory, but they never played that on our radio stations in America, did they?
No, I don't think they did. Like I say, it became popular in that, you know, lounge music resurgence, and then there are things in, like I mentioned, in a movie trailer, and I think there were others.
I've never heard that before, ever.
In Better Call Saul, the TV show, in episode 2, they have his version of Boulevard of Broken Dreams. And yeah, he was an interesting guy all the way around.
I'm going to be a star. But hello?
Yes, I'm listening to every word.
I thought I lost you again.
No, not at all.
I don't know. When you said that, I'm thinking, you know, these songs pop in my head, Roy. It's like, I don't know, I got a problem. But it goes like this. It goes, but they're all wrong. I know they are. Because I could play this here guitar.
On Broadway, yes, on Broadway.
On Broadway.
Yeah.
Play that.
Play that? Okay. Do I get to play? I get to play any version
right,
I want?
I'm going
to
let you go, Raleigh. Okay. You can stop, because I want to hear Southside Jimmy.
Oh, all right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right.
Okay.
So, yeah, we will get to Southside James before the night is over. I do hope. But time is a waste, and we'll see. What we don't do tonight, we will do tomorrow night, because I fully intend to be here. Gary in Austin, welcome back to WGN.
Well, hey, Raleigh, you were talking about 2,600 cycles.
And yes.
I remember on the Nightcap show, I was listening one night.
Yeah.
This is back when they were on Mutual.
Right, right.
Herb took a call, and this woman was, I don't know, let's say North Dakota or someplace.
Okay.
And she was going to play a song for us on her organ.
Oh, no. Yes.
And the song started out. And all of a sudden, we hit some note of the song. It was 2,600 cycles, and the call went away.
Oh, man. The only thing that would have been better is if she hit the tone that would have taken Mutual to a break.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
Yeah.
I always wanted to call. But anyway, so Herb said, when you sometimes hit certain frequencies, that will cause the call to drop. Now to the Nebraska, New Jersey, Wyoming, Florida line, and good morning. You know.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. The tri-state area of Washington, Oregon, and New Hampshire. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But I miss Joe Ingrassia. He actually, without any trouble, could just whistle 2,600 cycles.
Yeah, I spoke to him a few times in my Loop days in the mid-70s, and he was always nice to me.
He was a great guy. Then he changed his name to Joy Bubbles, but that was after I think the last time I heard from him, he was living in Denver, and he was trying to convince he was in a high-rise, Brooks Towers. He was trying to convince them to put a bunch of mattresses at the bottom so he could jump down the elevator shaft. And I remember this conversation because I said, funny. Joe, I don't think they're going to go along with this.
No. Yeah. I don't think I'd want to try that.
Right. It didn't put it past him. But anyway, he wound up moving to Minneapolis after that. And we didn't talk again. Then I heard he died, which I was really sad about. But boy, could he whistle 2,600 cycles.
But yeah, and I remember I was running a radio station for somebody I knew back then, and I forget what song they were playing. I think it was Lady by Styx. And that whistled off our call, and we had to call each other back.
Oh, no. Don't you hate that?
Chortling about that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
There were a couple other songs that did that throughout the day that you could do that too. So,
yeah. And then, of course, John Draper, who was, I guess he was in Daytona at the time. But anyway, he became Captain Crunch when he alerted us all to the fact, it was about 1971, that the whistles in the Captain Crunch boxes were 2,600 cycles. Well, but there's a but. And only people who had those whistles will remember this. They were little pieces of plastic, so they'd go off frequency after a while. So you had to eat an awful lot of Captain Crunch because you needed a lot of those whistles. And yeah, I remember buying it by the cases. But
yeah, I think Fran talked to him or knew him or something.
Probably, yeah. He's a crazy man. I don't even know if John's still alive, but he was absolutely a crazy man. And he became scary to me. And he was funny because he got the White House once. I think he got Nixon on the phone to tell him that there was a toilet paper shortage or whatever. And he could do all that. But then what happened was that he started getting into things like reprogramming master charge balances. I'm like, no, I don't want to know about this. Yeah, but I think he's still alive, and he'd be about 80, 81 now, if he is.
Wow.
But yeah, he was way ahead of himself on all that stuff. So yeah.
Yeah, that's well. Thanks for ZZ Hill last night.
Oh yeah.
Field tonight. There was a guy who used to have a show here called Twine Time. He used to play a lot of ZZ Hill on that show on Saturday night.
Nice. Yeah.
So we're beginning Fran's birthday celebration.
Oh, that's right. Well, that's the Wee Bitchin' Hour is about to hit in moments. Or no, wait a minute. In Central Time, it already has.
Yeah.
Oh, well, happy. Isn't that?
I'll apologize later.
Yes, right. Precisely. Well, happy. That's wonderful.
Okay. All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And let's see what we've got here. Not a whole lot of minutes, so we'll see if we can go through this quickly. Laura in Willowbrook, what's up? Well, Laura's gone. All right. I think we talked to Laura, actually, so okay. But Tubby has a song request, and I want to hear it. All right, did you hear the stylistics earlier?
Girl, I heard it. You right on point.
All right.
Reach over here and turn the radio volume down. Thank you, James. I thank everybody. James, he was in my heart the first time I heard him speak. And I'm so grateful that everybody, you put things in perspective and then people can call in and be helpful to him. But the other day when you were speaking about that, I just want to say real quick, it is so important, like I said before, my old boss, Jane, you have to be self-sufficient as much as you can.
Yeah.
Your brain is the compass to what you need to do for you, and we all do it differently. And so it's such a joy. Okay, hearts to James. And hi, Jim. Jim and James, okay.
Yeah.
And don't diminish what you have to say. People should call in because they should not second-guess that what they have to say may be important for someone else. If it is, you know.
Yeah.
So if you get a storm. Okay, stories on the highways. I love them.
Yeah.
I used to get on the road at 4 in the morning. I just love, you know, because I lived in Miami and all over the place too. Okay, here's the song.
Yes.
Play me a slow jam. And this time, make it sweet. Everything you want to
make
sweet. Who was that? Tell me though, Riley. I forgot who it was.
Yeah, I do too. I'm gonna have to think. I've got it on the computer, so I should just pull up the title.
Okay, you know when you. Whenever I get it, yeah, I got my song. Thank you so much. Okay, go to the next one.
Midnight Star. No, but it's Midnight Star, I'm pretty sure. Midnight Star.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you know, but the thing of it is with the music, that's why I used to tape Herb Kent and all the people in the
rancher
and that on WPEZ.
Yeah.
Because you get the Saturday morning breakfast. Because, you know, when you buy an album, a lot of times it was just one or two cuts on the whole thing.
Exactly.
That's the cut. So I would be there. I got at least 5 boxes of cassette tapes.
Perfect.
Just stuff I take. And over 200 VHS tapes.
Perfect.
Of stuff I take. And it goes all the way across the board. So when you tell them how it's there, I can really relate to all that. Okay, what's that say? Real quick, if you think of it, I can't even think what the man used to say. He would be down south. He seemed like he'd be on 24 hours a day. He had a reach on his radio station. And when I was in boarding school in Pittsburgh, I could get WLS, and with the nun, Mother Thomas, what she would do at night, she would cut the power off sometimes. Sometimes she did not. And I was in the West Montgomery, we're talking 1970, and I was like, no, 1968, and I was like 17 years old or something, and I would sneak and turn on my wonderful radio, and everybody would just love it because we played WLS all night from Chicago because I was from Chicago.
Now, that's interesting that you played LS all night. I was busy playing WLAC in Nashville all night with all the R&B.
Who was the disc jockey?
John Ara, Hoss Allen, and Gene Nobles were the big three.
Yeah, because they used to always call out some stuff. We come from Nashville.
Right.
Remember when they used to do it? I think that must have been a station, but I was too young.
Yeah, way down south in Dixie, and they'd always be selling red top baby chicks, 100 red top baby chicks. At this price, sex cannot be guaranteed. And like I've always said, it as a kid, I wondered who wanted to have sex with a chicken. But yeah, but that was it. It was the Reich Poultry Farms of Pennsylvania, that, and White Rose Petroleum Jelly, 101 uses, and you know what that one was for. And of course, I had to ask as a kid. I said, "What's the one for?" You know, anyway,
I'm about to fall out of bed.
Yeah.
Look, here's the deal. When my TV went out, first it was stuck on one station, and then when it got to 100 degrees one day, the power surge, he was checking in the building. The TV never came back on, so that's when I started going up and down the dial.
Yeah.
That's how I found you. That's how I found this show right here.
Perfect. Perfect. All right. Well, thank God for power failure.
I know.
All right, Tubby.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for everything.
All right.
Thanks,
so good deal. So okay, Midnight bye-bye. Star tomorrow night, I promise. Can't believe I didn't think of that quicker. All right, well, it'll eventually. All right, so I got two things to do. I better do one of them now on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Riley James. We'll forego the bumper since we only have a couple minutes tonight. Of course, we got tomorrow night, we'll have 3 big hours, so if I didn't get to you tonight. But I want to get to James on the south side before the night is out. How you doing, James?
Fine. How are you feeling? Thank you for taking my call.
Always.
Okay, I'm glad that Jim is doing better. I actually fell asleep after listening to him. That's why I didn't call in.
Oh, well, that's all right. Sleep is sacred. All right. Now, this story, I'd say this has got to be story of the year. The guy who accidentally stabs himself to death trying to separate 2 frozen hamburgers with a knife. Now, granted, this came from the UK, but originally this death was ruled a suicide. Although, you know, the guy died in July last year, and he supposedly killed himself by stabbing himself in the stomach. Now, firstly, I would think that officers would think, you know, that's not a way to go. But meanwhile, they find him dead, obviously, when they find him, and they see the blood trail through the house from the freezer around to the living room to the bathroom, And the first thing I'm thinking is, I can't imagine how much pain this guy was in and how long it took him to die. So anyway, they rule it. It's horrible. They rule it a suicide. And then I don't know who the brain trust is that comes up with the idea. Maybe we should look at this a little more closely. Forget about looking at the wounds and all that. But they see that the freezer drawer is open. They see that the two hamburgers, which they've now assumed were frozen at the time, were left on the counter. And they did some calculations and realized exactly where the wound to his abdomen was would have been right from the counter, from the work surface. So now they're thinking that he separated the frozen burgers using a knife. They found the knife. And when they found the knife, again, this brain trust said, oh, that must be chocolate. No, it was his blood. So in the meantime, this, as far as I'm concerned, is story of the year.
And then it makes you really think about when you say the samurai ritual suicide. You're a better man than I, Gunga Din.
And I hate to say it, we're going to have to pick this up tomorrow night at this time because we're out of time. Actually, call earlier and I will get to it. Thank you, James. All right. So, on that note, we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. Can you do it tomorrow night, 21 hours from now? I'll look forward to it. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.